I had seen it, was it twice or three times at that point? Oh, wow. I've seen it five times now.
Oh, wow. Okay. You've seen it more than I have.
And the analogy that I brought to it is that I think it's like, I tell people, I think it's like 3 days of the Condor, the undervine, without the conventional melodramatic thriller stuff. Mm-hmm. But it has a thrill thing, but it's 3 days of the Condor, in my humble view.
Well, that's
do you have a disagreement or agreement or?
I mean, I love that movie, obviously,
yeah.
And just the, you know, this is the sort of pervasive level of fear that, you know,
yeah.
in it. So yeah, so it's, of course we were going for that. Like, you know, surveillance is an issue that it's kind of abstract, and so how do you get people to sort of feel it on a more visceral level? And we were definitely going for that.
You could just
like a slow burn. Like
you could sense burn. Them outside that window.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but they were somewhere out there.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely was feeling that sense of, you know, danger and paranoia throughout making the film. So obviously, as an artist, you want to try to capture that.
One of the reasons I was taken with Ed is because he's only about 4 years older than my oldest son.
Oh, wow.
And I thought my oldest son would... So I made sure I gave him the screener. This is like one of your team, you know.
Right.
And he goes, I don't know, man. You know, I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, well, you know, what's he doing over in Russia? I said, well, because I don't think there's anything particularly noble. I don't see what's the great thing about surrendering to authorities and doing, what, 20 years, 30? What would they do if they, no, he'd probably, I mean, get a heavy sentence, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was looking at solitary confinement for decades.
Why solitary, do you think?
Because they put people under, like, this kind of... there's a kind of... People who are convicted of computer crimes are often treated worse than other prisoners.
So they...
Maybe it wouldn't be solitary. I could be exaggerating that.
Mm.
So, but I think it would be a supermax. You know, it would be... That was, I think, the, you know, the choice that he made, and he decided to seek political asylum. And
right.
he did it. I mean... In the context of a lot of other sources and whistleblowers being charged under the Espionage Act, there's no way to defend yourself under that act. You can't say, I saw a crime. You can't say, I did this because the public should know it. You can't. There's no way to defend yourself, and you can only be, you know, it basically equates people who are trying to do something that they think is in the public interest with, you know, selling spies to other countries, which is clearly not what he ever did.
I keep arguing with my older son about, listen.
Did he see the movie? Did you?
Yes, he did see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said he wasn't as admiring of Ed as I. His name is Jet. What about the mechanism that is clearly there that if, God forbid, a horrible government, George Bush times 10, gets in, that we'd have a much worse Orwellian situation that even George Orwell imagined. And you think it's bad that this was, that we know this now? We didn't know it before. And I just, you know, we block, bump heads. For some reason, he thinks it's better that the bad guys are being monitored. He doesn't care, in a sense, about, he figures they're watching him anyway. But he wants the bad guys to be. What would you say to my...
Okay, well, I'd say a few things. First of all, I would ask him if he could please give me the password to all of his email accounts, because I'd like to read his emails. I mean, and I think he probably wouldn't be so happy to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, people who say that, you know, people do care about their privacy. But the other thing I would say is that it's been proven and shown that actually the use of bulk surveillance to collect all data actually is not effective.
I hear about those people.
Okay. The use of the sort of indiscriminate bulk surveillance to collect all information, like billions of pieces of information a day, makes the intelligence agencies less capable of actually finding the people they should pay attention to, because they're overwhelmed in data. They're literally swimming in data, and there are many examples of it. So we have the example of 9/11. So the CIA knew that two of the hijackers had trained in Al-Qaeda, and they knew that they had visas to the United States, but the CIA didn't tell the FBI.
Mm.
Could have been stopped.
Right.
9/11 could have been stopped. We also have the underwear bomber, where the father of the underwear bomber went to the embassy in, I think it's in Kenya, and said, my son is dangerous. He trained in Al-Qaeda,
right.
with Al-Qaeda in Yemen.
told the embassy, watch out for my kid. And he had a U.S. passport, I mean, U.S. visa. And they didn't revoke his visa. And he was able to board a flight by using cash. I mean, like, the triggers are so, you know, this is an intelligence failure that happened, not a failure of collecting all of our information. So I think this kind of swimming in information makes law enforcement really less effective. I also think terrorism should be fought with law enforcement. It's not something a military can fight. You don't, like, mobilize entire military.
Right.
I think that the use of things like surveillance to target people with drones is a real human rights violation. You know, that they're killing people based on your phone number. They're targeting. They think that this phone number goes with somebody,
You think it's counterproductive to kill bad guys who are plotting to murder?
What I think is counterproductive is to do things like occupy countries for years, which then creates a new generation of people who hate the United States.
Oh, sure.
I think that we've completely, I mean, you know, we go from like the immediate aftermath of 9/11, where maybe there was a couple hundred people that you needed to be really like worried about.
Right.
Now there's like a generation, there are generations, you know, because of the kind of policies. Like we've become our own worst enemies. We're creating the problem that we say that we're trying to stop. And so you have something like ISIS. I mean, ISIS emerged out of the power vacuum of the Iraq War. I mean, if you basically destroy a state, violence fills the vacuum, and that's what we're seeing. So anyway, so what I would say to him is that it doesn't make any safer. That would be my short answer. It doesn't make us any safer. Surveilling everyone doesn't make us any safer. It fundamentally violates.
Right.
Violates the Constitution. I mean, so right. I would say, and then the danger of a, you know, turnkey tyranny is very real.
Do you happen to know the documentarian Adam Curtis?
Oh, he does, yeah. I mean, his stuff is so interesting because his stuff is hard to see because of the licensing stuff. He doesn't license all of his archival, so it's hard to see. So I know, like, the power of dreams, right? Or
the power of nightmares.
Nightmares. The power of nightmares.
Which basically said that the Islamic fundamentalists are very close, cut from the same cloth as hard conservatives in this country. Both the end of hate liberalism, both adhering to religious, you know. Anyway, he's got this new one that I have seen half of called Bitter Lake, which
I
just came
seen
out.
It. Okay.
Same basic idea that how we, going back to the Roosevelt administration, through it says over misunderstanding and oversimplification, hunger for oil leading to essentially created these conditions that sired generations of radicals.
I think it's totally true. I mean, we really are creating these conditions. We're creating people who hate us. I mean, we are creating the problem that we say we're trying to end. And it doesn't make us any safer. It really doesn't.
You can't have anything but revulsion for the monsters that are murdering people on behalf of ISIS.
I mean, I've worked in war zones where I was in a threat of those kinds of people. They're targeting journalists and people who are, you know, engaging in free speech, of course. I mean, I'm being attacked by those people. There's no excuse for it. But I don't think that we should give up our liberties because people are attacking our freedoms.
Right.
We shouldn't give up our freedoms because people are attacking our freedoms. I mean, that's just fundamentally wrong. And it's not effective. And I think, you know, that the U.S. was caught off guard. You know, they have no language skills. They had no informants. They didn't have, so they thought this sort of like, okay, let's surveil everything approach would be the answer. And it's not the answer. I mean, we're not any safer.
I was just thinking how people don't tend to regard Adam Curtis because he penetrates British media, BBC guy, then he goes on YouTube and people just kind of watch him if they want to watch him. I would love it if you or someone with your stature would get into this whole thing that he...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
have you ever thought about anything about the Middle East itself and the whole...
Well, I made two films about the Middle East. I mean, I made a film about the Iraq War and I made a film about Yemen
beforehand.
And Guantanamo. Yeah, so I've done that. So I feel like I've touched on that. And very much, I mean, I was in Iraq when, you know, they were beheading people. And so I know very much how dangerous that context is and how horrible it is. And,
you know, and they were also targeting Iraqis. I mean, it's you know, it's brutal. Mm.
Are you working on a new film?
Yeah, but I don't talk about works that I'm doing because it's always okay. Pretty
secret. How long have you been working on that?
A while. Yeah.
Since before Citizen 4 came out?
No. I mean, actually, I do have another. The footage that I shot for Citizen 4, I realized I had more footage than for one film, so another film might emerge out of it, but that's still to be determined.
Have the people at the airports decided to cut you a break and not question you and put you in a room every time you come to the States?
The people at the airports, I'm sure that they've decided to cut me a break, and I'm not questioned every time I return home.
Okay.
You know, and I have to say that as much as they put me through a lot of harassment over many years, they taught me some skills that have been useful, you know, in doing the work
like
that
what?
I do. Well, like, you know, encryption. And I mean, it was because of the border stuff that I became really good at how to use encryption. So they forced me to do that.
Oh, okay. So. You're going to be at the Spirit Awards, aren't you?
That's
Isn't
right.
your film...
It's nominated for the Spirit Awards. Yeah,
in the doc category or the film category?
Doc. Yeah.
I think you must have been very flattered when some people said that Citizen 4 should be in the best picture.
I was super flattered. I mean, people sometimes talk about my work as, you know, about the issues, but for me, I'm a filmmaker first. And so if it's being talked about as a film, that's great. Because that's what I feel like. If the film is good, it's good because it works as a film, or it fails because it fails as a film, not because it's an important issue. I don't make films because I want to talk about issues. I want to make films. You know, they have to work as films first.
By the way, I got lazy and forgot to buy or look for the actual hard CD with Trent Reznor's that track that I was so in love with.
Right. Yeah.
And you never heard
it. But it's out there. It's the ghost stuff. It's out there. But it's copyright, so you can't just but you could get it. I mean, it's there. It's Ghost. It's on, if you go to IMDb, I think there's...
It's Ghost number something.
Yeah. If you go to IMDb, it's all listed there on the Citizen 4 website.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a great track. It's a great track. I can try to send it to you. I forgot. I apologize.
Have you seen any of the competing documentaries?
Of course, yeah. I mean, they're
terrific.
Are
you a member of the Academy?
I am a member of the Academy, yeah. I mean, there were some heartbreakers that I wanted to get nominated. I thought Steve James should be nominated. I thought that The Overnighters should be nominated. Did you see The Overnighters?
Why am I forgetting? I know that
it's
title.
It's Jesse Moss's film in North Dakota about people who move there for the oil industry. It's brilliant. It's like Steinbeck. It's like watching Steinbeck. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Should have been nominated. So.
And Rory Kennedy's film?
I love it. It's great. Amazing footage. She just told an amazing story about this, how she got some of the archival that was on the ship and that when they were helicopters.
Were flying.
It's insane. It's really great. I'm really happy for her.
Okay, well, we're ending this, if they judge by Nancy's expression.
I'm lurking now.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll
Any
look forward
to... Any other questions? You can ignore Nancy.
I could go on. This is fine.
Okay, all right. I mean, tell your son, there are things if he thinks that having a free press is important in this country, then this surveillance stuff is really dangerous, you know? I mean, the way that they're using surveillance to find sources and investigate journalists is really, it puts a huge chilling effect on the public's ability to get information through the press.
Is my son representative of under 30s that you have
talked to? No, I think he's not. I think actually the younger generation is pretty sympathetic to Snowden.
And they're not in any way blasé about, they're going to invade my life anyway.
I think that what they do is there are certain things that they put out into the public that they know, but there are other things that they keep private and they know very well. I mean, I do think that there's going to be a generation of people that are going to really, you know, strive to maintain their privacy. Like growing up where you can't, you know, whatever you do when you're in high school maybe follows you into your 30s and 40s. I think that people are going to, you know, the sort of next generation that grows up like fully digitally, you know, total footprint of their entire lives, will have things to say about what the loss of privacy is. And And so I think that young people actually are sensitive to it. And they compartment. You know, this stuff goes private, this stuff goes public, and this stuff